You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. A lot to get into this morning. Jesse Lingard, new deal at Manchester United, maybe. Also, Erling Haaland transfer desperation. Also, a right winger that we nearly got last season that I'm very glad that we didn't, but was apparently very, very close. Also, things on Van der Beek, as well as quite an interesting story that I've just been passed here, actually, at MUFCMPB. Good count on Twitter that gets a lot of transfer information from journalists. So they've just had a tweet from Sam Pilger, who works for the Bleacher Report and does, well, I think he does Bleacher Report. He does quite a few outlets, to be fair. Jadon Sancho remains a Manchester United target, but the club's still undecided on their priorities for the summer. They're aware they need a holding midfielder, a centre-back and a striker, but there's probably only a budget for one of those marquee signings. So, I mean, that's still the latest there. Jadon Sancho will be available for a cheaper than last year, but Manchester United could pass on him if they decide to invest in the majority of their budget in, for instance, a striker and persist with Mason Greenwood on the right wing. Doing it on the cheap. And I think this is the theme that many of us will be accustomed to at Manchester United, that we do things on the cheap. There is a problem at Manchester United because we don't have the budget to do these signings, and yet there are three or four key positions. A bit worrying that they haven't actually decided what they're going for yet. It is now the end of March. But I think that this has been created by the lack of... I mean, somebody sent me... I'm really sorry. Maybe I'll bring it up on the 8 o'clock show tonight. Somebody sent me a list of all the board members for Manchester United. It makes you want to cry. It really does. There is nobody who knows anything about football on there. It's all marketing director this or Glazer that. It's... You know, there's nobody on there with any football knowledge. Now, we do have Sir Bobby Charlton and we do have Sir Alex Ferguson, but they're not. They're advisory board members. They're not day-to-day. They're not involved in the day-to-day running of that football club, the finances and things like that. So I'd never say I detest the club because that's not what I mean, but I detest the way the club is run. It's run by bankers and business people who've got experience of opening this bloody bank or, you know, running this bloody social media thing or whatever. They're not football people. They're business people. And that can work if you've got football people there. But a football club would have been masterminding their summer overhaul months ago. We're limping into the summer, believing because they are checkbook, well, they're not checkbook board members, are they? They're spreadsheet managers. They think because we're second in the league, this is progression. I mean, the scary thing is, I fear that that board think, oh, third last year, second this year. You know what? Get the bus out, get the bus washed. It's first next year. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Could not be further from the truth. We are not progressing towards first place next season. In fact, I think we're going to drop off. And I said it last night and I'll say it again. I personally think Solskjaer's gone by Christmas. I don't want him to be. And, you know, maybe if Solskjaer was sat on a call with us now, we'd say, well, I think that's very... Goldie, I think that's very negative. But no, I'm behind you, Solskjaer. But I tell you what's behind you as well. A big knife that's going to stab you in the back from that board. They will throw you under the bus and leave you for dead. That's what will happen. Metaphorically thinking. Not meteorically, that's weather. But, you know, I think it's coming. I think it is coming because there's too many holes in that team. There's too many holes in that team and we clearly haven't got the funds or appetite to do anything about it. So the fact that we need a CDM, a centre-back, a right winger and a striker, but we've only got the funds for one player. I mean, look, I don't need a weatherman to tell me it's pissing down, do I? Hi, Mark. I hope you're having a good day. Could you say happy birthday to my mate, Josh? Happy birthday to Josh from... that's from Afro. and let Lingard go to West Ham. This is exactly how Romero got treated, says Car Fanatic. So, the Lingard belongs to East London, says T36. So there's a story coming out this morning. I read it on Sky Sports, and to be fair, it is via the Sun, so you've got to take it with a very big pinch of salt. Some would say a bag of salt. But the reality is, the story is that Manchester United are going to bring Jesse Lingard back in a sensational move and give him another go at Manchester United. I've got to say, I mean, we've spoken about this before, but this won't surprise me. This will not surprise me. We talk about on the cheap, success on the cheap, and I think there's a theme running through the football club and certainly through this show. We talk about Haaland in a minute. Everything we're talking about today is about cheapness. It's about how the club is cheap. So we were talking there about we need four players. We've only got enough money for one. I mean, that's a mid-table club. That's a mid-table club mentality at one of the biggest clubs in the world. But Lingard coming back to Manchester United and signing a new contract, I hope that Jesse's not naive enough to do it, because there's no doubt that Jesse Lingard loves Manchester United. And I'm sure if they offer him a contract, he probably will seriously consider signing it. But for his own career, he shouldn't sign it. Has he not had a glimpse of what he can do? Like, he's the star man at West Ham. He's in the England squad. He might even get into the Euros. Now, if he was playing for a team like West Ham or Leicester or wherever, week in, week out, he'd be in the England squad every week, and he'd be getting loads of Instagram likes, and he'd be getting loads of deals, and he'd be doing the funny faces. And I've got no problem with any of that, but what I'm saying is Jesse, obviously, he's admitted it himself. He loves all that. Well, you can't do all that when you're not even on the bench for Manchester United. You can't get all that hype and positivity in your soul if you're at Manchester United, because you're not going to be a first-team player at United. Like, it's a fact. And if you are, we ain't good enough. We've got enough players at that club that can sit on the bench and do a great job for us, but I think Jesse Lingard should be playing first-team football. He's not a Manchester United first-team player, unless we want to go where Arsenal are. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to be trying to be in the top four every year. And for me, Jesse Lingard's not a winger. He's certainly not a box-to-box midfielder. He's a number 10, and we've got one of the best number 10s in the world with Bruno, who wants to play every game. So Lingard signs a new contract. Lingard goes on the bench. He ain't never moving Bruno out of that team. Just ask Donny van der Beek. So I don't see why Lingard would want to stay. But I think Man United will offer him a deal, because it's chirpy, chirpy, cheap, cheap time. The reality is, we've seen it time and time again, Manchester United, because they're a bank and not a football club, what they do is they treat players as assets. Now, if they remove an asset like Jesse Lingard, they've got to replace that asset, which costs them money. So they would rather give somebody a new contract because it's cheaper than selling them and buying somebody else. Because most of the time, you're going to have to spend more than what you've sold for, which from a business point of view is not a good idea. So you'd rather keep it. It's a bit like, you know, if you're a massive business and you you've got a chef that you think's not really good anymore. Like you own a restaurant. We're back in the restaurant again. You've got a chef who's pretty good, but he's probably not as good as what you need anymore. And people are like, you need to get rid of him and get a better chef in. That's going to cost you more money, because the better chef's going to cost more money. Best just to stick with the one that we've got, because it will save us money. And that's what United's mentality has always been. Phil Jones never should have got a five-year contract. Pereira never should have got a new contract. Mata never should have got a three-year contract. So I can see this happening again with Lingard, because Manchester United's view, and it's proven, there's so many aspects of layers of bad practice in relation to transfers, recruitment, retention. They will probably offer Jesse Lingard a new contract because financially it makes sense. Great video with Robbie Knox, Mark. You're like the new French and Saunders, but with the man bits, says Luke Jones. Yeah, I loved it. Really check that out on YouTube. Really did enjoy that. Mark, Ali's gone by Christmas because of this board. Watchers get Ben White and loan Samani this summer, says Noah. I think Ali is gone by Christmas, unfortunately. Yeah. Zane, you're a prat. You don't need me to tell you that. But so Lingard, look. What I would say about Lingard is if you're an ambitious club, you let Jesse go and have his career and say thank you very much and all the best, which is what we've had a glimpse of at West Ham anyway. You get £20 to £25 million for him and you put that into the budget to go and try and get another player. Because as we know, we haven't got enough money. But I don't trust this board. He's got 1 year left on his contract. You could get... I think Lingard will go anywhere between 15 and 25 million with 1 year left on his deal. But I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a new contract. I'd be disappointed with Jesse for signing it. I think he's better than that. I think he's better than being a bench player for United at 28, and I think he should play first team football elsewhere. But there you go. Interesting story with VG, which is a Norwegian outlet. They seem to have been interviewing quite a few people, some Athletic journalists, Telegraph journalists from the UK, just talking about the situation with Erling Haaland. And there's quite a few bits in this which are interesting, which is why it says Haaland transfer desperation in the title. There is a desperation from Manchester United for Erling Haaland, but it's not logical. It's basically, I suppose the tagline that's coming out at the moment is Manchester United can't afford Haaland, but their hope is that because he has a good relationship with Solskjaer, he'll come to United. So, you know, I put it on Twitter today, it's true. It's basically like, we can't afford Haaland, but because Ollie used to babysit him at Molde, we think he'll come for free and we can pay him in Amazon vouchers. Like, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. There is no white flag of defeat. You know, surrender. There's no surrender flag going up from United, even though our fans know this is illogical. You can't afford him, but you want to get him because he knows Ollie. Like, this ain't no Friends Reunited. Remember, anyone remember Friends Reunited? That doesn't exist anymore, does it? But it's not. Like, this is business. In another article, they're saying that Mino Raiola is waiting to accumulate all the offers for the summer before deciding what's going to happen with Haaland. He might stay at Dortmund for another year because they'll make a load of money next year because he'll go for cheap and then they'll make the extra on themselves. Or they might get some ridiculous offer that benefits them now. So Mino Raiola is going to be sat there with all these options, and then he's going to have a text message with a picture from Ollie with his arm round Haaland at Molde saying, like, bring him home. You know, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You cough up the money in this game or you don't get anywhere. And that's, you know, in that article, they're talking about if Haaland is to leave this summer, 200 million would be the package. About 130, 150 million to Dortmund. The rest of it made up in wages, signing on fees and agent fees. I mean, I personally don't think he's going to go anywhere. I don't think anybody can afford that. But there is absolutely no way we can afford it. Mark, watch this videos on YouTube. You will thank me later. A young CDM that plays for Monaco. The name is Aurelian, says Tariq. And I would take Lingard at Arsenal, says Zane. Rodgers will make him better. We can give you Elneny and Xhaka. Hey, I'm doing a video on Arsenal on That's Football at lunchtime, Zane. It's going to blow your mind. Literally will. So keep an eye out for that. But Fandy Candy says, we've already overpaid for overvalued players like Maguire. No need to chase overhyped players again. Hi, Mark. What's your take on Lukaku? I think we should have kept him, says Dazu W. Remind me at the end because I didn't do it yesterday. So just further strands on this article around Haaland. Manchester United COVID effects means that they can't afford him, but they feel that Ollie has an advantage because he knows him. I mean, as I said a few seconds ago, we can't afford him, but he knows Ollie. Am I missing something here? I mean, this is desperation on a different level. This is like quit and go and look elsewhere. You know, this is so desperate. Absolutely desperate. I mean, we're sure we've got those friends that want to go out with a girl or a boy and they've asked them out so many times and they just won't leave it. And you're like, stop it. Just stop it. They don't want to go out with you. But they're the girl or boy of my dreams. Yeah, but that's life. Just because you want something doesn't think you can have it. You know, I wanted to score goals for Manchester United and be their all-time top goal scorer. You realise in life that you don't get what you want all the time. You're not going to get that girl or boy. They don't want to go out with you. Stop begging them to do it just because you want it to happen. And I think United just are making themselves look really desperate here. And I know that, look, I'm wise to the fact that maybe United aren't even in this race. You know, remember the story of De Ligt a few weeks ago. He said, Man United never approached me. But was it two summers ago? People were saying it was a done deal. So United are very adept at putting information out, but then sometimes they don't put information out. And we don't know what the truth is around Haaland. Are United in for him? Are they not? There's a lot of people saying that we are. A lot of different people are saying that we are. So I think we are. But are we just in for him because it's beneficial? It's beneficial because it gets you lot talking about United and a big player. And subconsciously, does that make you think United are good and it gives you positive vibes and you go and buy a shirt or something like that? I don't know, but it generates interest in Manchester United, the brand, doesn't it? But logically, this is a no-go area on so many different levels. But what was also said in the same article is that Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, wants is desperate for a number nine who is strong, and that Cavani could end up staying. Which again, I think that sound a bit like Papai there. But I think that's, I mean, I think desperation is the word that is resoundingly the word around Manchester United. Desperation. I mean, do we use that word enough? Desperation around this football club? Because it is desperate. A lot of what we do, and especially around the attacking position, is desperate. Ighalo, a year ago, was desperate. Cavani, in September, was desperate. And now we're acting desperate again around Haaland. And then if he doesn't come, we're going to get Cavani. We're going to get desperate to get Cavani to stay. We're just compounding the mistakes. Falcao was a desperate deal. We don't seem to get it right with the strikers. Lukaku was a desperation signing. We were after Morata, and we desperately went for Lukaku at the last minute, and it worked out. But with strikers, we just seem to be very desperate over the last few years. And Cavani doesn't want to be here. And also, I would say that Cavani's not the right player. And again, it's like what we might do with Lingard. It's like what we did with Jones and Pereira. Because we're not a football club and it's always about the balance sheet, we do desperate things. We leave things too late, so we have to do something desperate. Or we make somebody stay because it's cheaper than buying somebody. And Cavani is a very good player, but are you not going to look at the year that he's been at the club and how often he's been injured? Do you think he's going to get less injured at 35 than he is at 34? So there is a desperation. But I think that Man United have compounded, especially the striker position. There is no way that we were going to be looking at a striker this summer. It was all about centre-back, right-winger and a centre-defensive midfielder. That was the three priorities for United back at Christmas. And now a striker has bumped right-winger and CDM down the list so that it's a centre-back and a striker now. That's how bad our planning is, because striker was not something for this summer. They were wanting to get in the Haaland race next year when the release clause came in, but they've had to supposedly get in a Haaland race, but definitely a striker race, because Cavani hasn't worked out. He doesn't want to be here at the moment, and obviously he's been a bit injury prone. So we're just, the whole strategy is desperate. We never get close to fulfilling our genuine plans, because we're always having to react to the mistakes that we've made. I mean, look, Wan-Bissaka, £50 million right back. We're looking for a backup right back. There is forever. We're forever fixing problems that I mean, it's like needing a new boiler. But instead of getting a new boiler, we're always, oh, there's a leak. And you start fixing these leaks, but the boiler needs replacing. But we never get round to that, because we're always fixing the leaks. And this striker situation has become a leak that wasn't going to be there this summer. Hi, Mark. Do you think we should have more faith in Greenwood and Martial and strengthen the midfield instead, or get a proper number nine? Love the show. I would go without a number nine this season if it meant that we got a centre-back and a centre-defensive midfielder. Haaland could be the new Werner in United shirt, because we don't give any service to the number nine. CDM and centre-back and winger is good, says Vishal. Rafinha from Leeds would be a good signing. Mark, you keep making fun of Lacazette. He has proportionately a better record than Martial. So what is Martial? A BTEC Charlie Austin? No, stop nicking my sayings. Lacazette has always been the French Charlie Austin. Stop trying to give that name to Anthony Martial. Get a new name. But also, just to finally move on from Haaland, they did say in the article as well, nobody can beat Chelsea in a bidding war for Haaland. City hope that the connection with his dad, because he used to play for City, could help them. And obviously, Ollie used to know him from Mulder. But we ain't got the money anyway. So, I mean, the Haaland story, I keep telling you like this. It's going to keep circulating. But I can only deliver the news on a news show. Personally, I'm checked out with Haaland. It makes no sense. I don't want him. We can't afford him. We're just embarrassing ourselves. But, you know, I'm sure we're going to keep mentioning it. What intrigues me about Haaland is there's a lot of you who actually still think we can do it. And I'd like to be in that mindset, because I don't know how you think we can do this deal. The club is run by people who want dividends and put us into debt. Why would that football club go, you know what, I've just woke up, I'd love to spend £150 million on one player? That's not this club. We don't have that ownership. We don't. And it's not going to happen. So we need to move on. We need to move on from that. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Interestingly enough, I don't know whether anybody saw this week. It was out yesterday. Feeds into the desperation angle of Manchester United that Ismail Sarr, I think he was the technical director of Watford, he was talking to Fabrizio Romano this week, and he said that last summer, Ismail Sarr to Manchester United was ridiculously close. And he was basically talking about what a good player Sarr is. But he said it was very close that Manchester United were going to buy him last summer, and it just fell down at the end. Well, we already know that Dembele fell down at the end, and it just shows you the desperation that resides in Manchester United in a transfer window. And we've seen it time and time again. They have a plan. They think they know what they're doing. It goes to absolute ratchet, and then they end up doing things desperate. Because Sancho was the player they wanted. Sancho was the right winger they wanted. But the scary thing for me is that we messed up the Sancho deal. Of course we messed up the Sancho deal. But I'd prefer it if we had an air of class about us. That if we don't get Sancho, we messed up, okay, let's put our hands up, we'll resolve it in the next transfer window. It's not ideal. Sorry, Ollie, we've messed up, we've made ourselves look really stupid, but we'll sort this out next transfer window. What they clearly do is they mess up the Sancho deal and then they absolutely crap their pants and start thrashing around like a fish out of water, chucking money at anything. Like we went for Ousmane Dembele, injury prone Ousmane Dembele. We tried to get him. Obviously Sarr from Watford. Oh, we chucked some money at him. We bought Palestri and Adama Traore. Ahmad Diallo, and you know, hopefully those two young players were scouted for the future and they were always going to come in. But were they always going to come in? Were those deals like, quick, get them done now? But, you know, we could have Sarr on the wing right now. And some people would say that's better than nothing, but it just shows you, doesn't it? The desperation, that the thrashing around. And that's where I always come back to with Van der Beek. What choice option was Van der Beek for our midfield? Like, was he second? Was he third? Was he fourth? Was he? I didn't want him, but you know, you just don't know. It's very hard to judge Solskjaer beyond his results and the way the team plays, because transfers wise, what choice were they? Was Harry Maguire his first choice, or did he want Koulibaly and Varane? Like, I don't know. I don't know, because you're always in the hands of this board, which just have consistently made mistakes. And what always sits in my head is Louis van Gaal saying, at a big club like Manchester United, you should be getting your first or second choice, not fifth or sixth. I mean, that's scary, but it only confirms what we fear. United should go for Bamford, Brentford's Tony. Tall, strong, fast, skillful, great aerial, top champion scorer, great finisher, could be 30 million, check out his goals, says Angel. And this board will eventually turn United into Leeds. We should all have therapists on standby. We need 4 appointments a week for the trauma, says NG. How is Lingard in the England squad after a few games but can't make the United squad? Isn't that a bad reflection on the England squad, says Chilled Ozzy? Well, I'm just quickly going to come back to that because I do need to move on. I saw somebody yesterday saying, explain to me this. How is Jesse Lingard doing so well at West Ham but wasn't doing so well at Manchester United? Well, I mean, it's not... I do sometimes, you know, I think it's very important to be pragmatic and look at both sides. I put no blame on Solskjaer for what's happened with Lingard. I probably would have given Lingard a little bit more time before he left. I was a bit surprised that people like Mata and Dan James were getting game time before Lingard. So, you know, maybe there. But in the cold light of day, this was a brilliant move for United. There was an asset there that was probably not worth a hell of a lot. And now he's worth a lot because he's gone to West Ham and he's played. Would he have played for Man United from when he left to go to West Ham to now? No. He would hardly have played at all. Like Bruno, you know, Van der Beek is the backup for Bruno and he never plays. All I can say is well done, Jesse Lingard, for getting the loan move and well done for what he's done. But there's absolutely no reason to sit here and say, wow, it just shows you what an idiot Solskjaer is because look how good Lingard is. But, you know, let's not be idiots with this one. Lingard is doing ridiculously well in the position that Bruno Fernandes plays, and Bruno Fernandes is the reason we are where we are over the last year. So there's no space for Lingard. The best thing he did was move, and the best thing he could do is leave. The worst thing United could do is give him a new contract, because it's just, I mean, to me, all I see, if I'm absolutely blunt, when I see Jesse Lingard, I just see £20 million going into our transfer budget. That's all I see. I don't see anything else. If he stays, he won't be first teamer. He's just another bench player. And a bench player, to me, stops Hannibal, stops Choretire, stops Diallo getting on the bench. So I see 20 million quid sat on the bench stopping younger players coming through. I see 20 million sat on the bench not being used towards positions that we need. So not selling Lingard this summer would be disgraceful. And not because Lingard's crap. You know, he is a bench player for United and I do like him. But, you know, he should go for his career anyway. But there's 20 million there that we can use towards our budget. And we need every bloody 10 million pounds we can find, because we clearly haven't got enough money to buy what we need to get. So there you go. Kane versus Haaland thoughts. Cavan, I'd take Kane every. I'd take Haaland every day of the week, because I think Kane's injury record worries me, to be honest with you. Let me just have a sip of water. Tickly throat. Oh, that's. I tell you what, it's a very good plug as well. It's a very good mug, not a plug. These are out this week. Links in the video description. We've got lots of different designs. Actually, I can show you some more. Got the old one like that. We've got a black one here as well, and we've got the green and gold, which I can't show you because it will disappear with the green screen. But we have got the green and gold. If you hit the link in the video description, you can order them in. Very, very good United stand mugs and designs as well. I think it's in the video description anyway. No, it's not in the video description. I'm a prat. I've got season player ratings in there, so I will put it in there. But, the next thing I want to talk about is Diallo had his debut, didn't he? Diallo had his debut last night for Ivory Coast. Just give him a bit of a shout out there. But no, there's something I just wanted to bring in here that I think you might quite like. Let me have a look. Following. It's a quote from Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson's done an interview somewhere, and it's just very interesting what he said to Manchester United, effectively. Where is it? Here we go. My mindset every time I played a game of football was to win. That was the only thing that mattered. It was the winning aspect of it all the time. Nothing else mattered. And I think that Sir Alex Ferguson has almost become, well, he's a legend anyway. He's an icon. You know, he's at that stage of life where he's not going to manage anymore. His career is unprecedented. And, you know, we all want to get to that stage of life where our words are almost immortal, because they, you know, your success cannot be challenged because you've retired. And you retired the greatest. So when he talks, you listen. And it's very interesting that we have this Manchester United setup at the moment that many people obviously are not happy with, of course. But you've got a manager there who was the manager of this club, who had unprecedented success, who is basically telling you what anybody who lived it knows, that all that mattered was winning. And I think back to Sir Alex Ferguson, and I think a lot of people probably don't remember it, or choose not to remember it, or forget it, or don't think about it enough. But I look back at Alex Ferguson, and I think, you know, the amount of games where we were drawing, and he'd bring on, he'd take a defender off and bring a striker on, and to try and win the game, to, you know, taking that gamble. It's such a different world that we live in now, and you know, I think it's always good to remember that this club has changed so much in the last 8 years, because, you know, sometimes you feel like you're dreaming what we used to be. And I think social media is a really interesting place, because you get people who try and, I mean, to me, they don't know the history of the football club, because we all know they're there. We sometimes get them in the comment section of this video. They'll be like, why are you so negative? Win, lose or draw, get behind the team and the players. You know, they almost try to make you feel guilty for being critical. And yet, the reason they probably supported Manchester United is for totally different reasons. Like, some people will tell you that second place is a major achievement, and that, you know, everyone's doing a great job, and that, you know, the midfield pivot that we've got at the moment, get behind them, they're doing their best. And it's like, the standards have dropped so much. And it's always good to read a Sir Alex Ferguson quote, because it takes you back to the time that Sir Alex Ferguson was in charge. He never would have allowed that centre-back and centre-midfield partnership to be in a Sir Alex Ferguson team. It just doesn't fit. This deep defensive line, over-protection, back six, it just doesn't work. Sir Alex Ferguson wanted centre-backs that could send the midfield and the full-backs forward and deal with it on their own. He wanted midfielders that got in the box, didn't hang around on our box. He wanted risk-taking players. He wanted fast attacking football. And he never accepted second place. He was aggressive about players that didn't do well. He was pedantic on the touchline with referees and officials and the media. He was a born winner and he was obsessed with it. And he was aggressive with it and he was passionate with it. And this is the greatest manager we've ever had. And yet now we live in a world where fans want to pretend that being a Manchester United fan is about getting behind the players, getting behind the manager, you know, championing the fact that we're second place. And there's aspects of that that are important, but there's also aspects that are very important that reside within the DNA. And we hear a lot about DNA. The DNA of Manchester United that we hear about from the current coaching setup is halfway there. It's Bon Jovi. It's halfway there. The true DNA of this football club is arrogance, aggression, ruthlessness, winning, obsession. This is the DNA of Manchester United. Entertaining, risk-taking. These are things that we haven't seen for 8 years that are the true DNA strands of Manchester United. And it's important to be remembered of that. I get it a lot, and I'm sure you do as well. I get people saying, you get too angry when we're losing, or you go over the top when we concede a goal. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't just decide to do this. This was inflicted on me by Sir Alex Ferguson, Roy Keane, Gary Neville, David Beckham. All these players I grew up as a kid watching and absorbing what they're saying and how they're acting. The petulance, the anger, the frustration comes from them. I mean, you know, there's plenty of clips out there. What about that referee when he gave that penalty against United and the whole team looked like they were going to beat him up? This is the winning obsession that many Man United fans have got. And it won't die, but it has been forgotten. I think that we have become... Through the Sir Alex Ferguson era, business obviously started to take over, but the main focus was always being the best football team. That's all Sir Alex Ferguson was interested in. He wanted to be the best football team. He wanted to win. It was an obsession, like that quote says. I think United now have become a bit of a gimmick. I think, we're Man United. We want to be the best in the world. Copyright. You know, it's become a tagline of a brand. It's not become a reality of a football club. And I think we hear all the right things from top to bottom. We hear all the right things, but we don't actually see that on the pitch. And that's always the most important area for me. It's on the pitch that matters. And I think a lot of what we do as a football club makes us look like a massive football club and one of the best clubs in the world. But what we do on the pitch, realistically, I said this before, if you'd been in a coma for 5 years and you took, you know, you swapped Manchester United's team and put them in a bunch of, I don't know, Southampton kits, would you realise it was Manchester United? I mean, two or three players, you'd think, oh, Southampton have done well there. But a lot of it, and the way we play football, you'd go, yeah, that just looks like a mid-table club. So, you know, I think that where we are at the moment, there's a lot to be improved upon. But it's always good to be reminded. Did you see Ruud van Nistelrooy interview with Rio? Sir Alex dropped him last game of the season and told him no point going for Golden Boot when we are second, says Dazzo W. Hearing about how Sir Alex Ferguson managed, do you think the way he managed would work in modern times? Just chilled Aussie. Well, I can't answer that because times move on, don't they? Mourinho, I saw a quote from Mourinho yesterday talking about how people... basically it was something to do with NASA, and he said people who talk to NASA scientists but don't know what they're on about, and then you've got people talking about his football when he's one of the greatest managers that's ever been. And I thought, well, that's the arrogance, that's the special arrogant one, is it? But at the end of the day, you can't live off a passport forever. You know, at some point you've got to renew that passport. And unfortunately, Sir Alex Ferguson Unfortunately for Mourinho, Sir Alex Ferguson retired on top. And anything he says now, he'll always remember the greatest. Mourinho's decided to carry on and has fell off the cliff as a footballing manager. So, you know, you can't live off your status. Jose Mourinho will always be a great manager, but he's not a great manager at the moment. And, you know, the great thing about football is you're always going to be open to critique. What could we get if we sold Lingard, Dalot, Pereira, Fred... I think there are only players we can sell because these salaries aren't huge, says SK.
Well, he won't sell Fred or McTominay. Pereira, you might get 10 million for. Deleu, you might get 15. Lingard, 20. So you're talking 40, 45 million, aren't you? Yeah, definitely. I don't know whether Harry Maguire would have been bought by Sir Alex, maybe. But just on Lukaku, I was asked this last night and I do want to just answer it. In relation to Lukaku, I didn't really want us to buy him in the first place. The video will be on the channel somewhere. I felt that he's had concerns about his hold-up play and his touch, which obviously came to pass. But I always said he was a good goal scorer. And I think that Lukaku leaving was best for him and best for us at the time. I think that the way Lukaku plays football, he will always score you goals, but he's also a very frustrating player as well. And in a way, he'd probably suit us quite well at the moment because we don't really provide our number nine much service. But I wasn't against selling Lukaku. I thought we got good money for him. I think he's gone on and done very well. I think he'd had enough of United and I think we'd had enough of Lukaku. I know a lot of fans wish we hadn't got rid of him, but I do feel it was... all I can say is I don't really have any regrets about that he left. I can acknowledge that he's a good player, but I remember how I felt at the time, and I'd be a hypocrite to say we shouldn't have sold him now, because at the time I was quite happy for it to happen. I mean, with Pogba, it's different. I think I'd understand Pogba wanting to go, but I don't want him to go. Despite everything, I just think we're going to lose one of our best players in a position where we haven't got a lot of talent. When Lukaku went, you were like, well, Greenwood's available, Rashford, Martial... So, yeah. Hi, Mark. My mate Dan is feeling a little down this week. Can you call him a prat? It would make his day. Dan, don't feel down, you prat. And put a smile on your face. It's the weekend. It's the weekend. Are we going to renew Cavani? Says riding the red waves. I think we might do. And I think that the two things that Man United have got a problem with at the moment is desperation and cheap. We're cheap, so we will look to, you know, keep players at the club that we've already got because it's cheaper than replacing them. And we're desperate because we've got too much to do in too little time, so we'll do desperate things. And there's many different levels to being desperate. If Jesse Lingard and Cavani are in Ollie's office in the summer, ideally, I think Ollie's like, well, there's 20 million there and I'll let Cavani go because it's not worked out and I'll get a striker in. In reality, it's like, I've got so much to do. It'll be a lot easier if you both just stay and we'll sort it out next year. So there's your new contract. And will you stay for another year? And that's basically my perception of what United do. There's so much to do, they do nothing. Please just stay. Just keep the players that we've got. It's easier than actually being efficient. And this goes back to something we've spoken about on this channel for years. If you want to be successful, you've got to be ruthless and aggressive. And that's in the transfer market. You've got to be ruthless in removing people who are not good enough and aggressive in bringing players in that are good enough. And unfortunately, we fail on both of those things. We're not ruthless at removing players who are not good enough, and we're not aggressive at getting the players that we need, which is why we end up with fourth and fifth options. But time and time again, we make bad decisions. Yeah. That guy says Man United is about wingers and bringing the youth through to me. Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think wing play is definitely what I think about Manchester United. You know, it's why I've always loved wingers and wing play and fullbacks overlapping. It's what Man United has always been about. So yeah, definitely. Do you think Ronaldo will leave in the summer? Says Ian. I don't think he'll come to Manchester United. We clearly haven't got any money, and that's the scariest thing. Please smash a like on the video, by the way. Hannibal will be a good player, but that's another reason to let Jesse go, because how's Hannibal going to come into the team as an attacking midfielder if we keep Lingard? Same with Shea Retire. Same with Diallo. Same with Van der Beek. These players will not get game time if we keep someone like Jesse Lingard, who for his own good needs to go. I would do swap deals, Cameron. I'm more than open to doing swap deals. I'm happy to do swap deals. I don't know where the Manchester United are. I think it's we talk about efficiency and time. If you've got Jesse Lingard and you've got Declan Rice, and I'm not saying we're signing Declan Rice and I'm not saying we're selling Jesse Lingard. If you sell Lingard to Leicester, you've got to spend time doing that, weeks. And if you buy Declan Rice, you've got to spend time doing that, weeks. If you swap Lingard as part of the Declan Rice deal, it's one deal. You've just cut efficient time. And that's why I think that's one. Obviously, people haven't got a lot of money this summer, so swap deals are good. Look, if Henderson's going or De Gea's going, use them in a swap deal. Like that, definitely do that, because you're being efficient with your time and you're getting what we need. And look, Martial's a player that if he did go, and I'm not saying he's not going to go, I don't think United want to sell him, but Martial might say he wants to go himself. Again, do it in a swap deal. Do it in a swap deal. We've got too much to do this summer. There's about 12 players that need to be decided whether they're going, and there's about 4 players that need to come in. That's 16 deals. We ain't going to do that. We won't even do 8. So as many as we can do as possible. Gravenbach is a client of Riola. Thanks everyone for watching. Please smash a like on the video. I've got a really interesting video going up on That's Football at midday, so make sure you check out Mark Goldbridge, That's Football. We have got an 8 o'clock show this tonight as well, and of course if anything happens during the day we'll go live with that as well. But enjoy your weekend. No football today, which is a bit of a shame. Well, there is a bit of football. There's a bit of international football if you want to watch that. But stay safe, take care, smash a like on the video, and make sure you subscribe. And if you want to get a mug from our mug range, check it out. I have put the link in the video description now. See you later.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.